Hello, and welcome to our special series of Green Elephant interviews during March 2021, supporting the annual B Corps Month. B Corporations, or B Corps for short, are businesses that meet the highest standards of verified social and environmental performance, public transparency, and legal accountability to balance profit and purpose. Throughout March, we are chatting with key people in companies which have chosen to certify as B Corps and become a force for good. Today, I've been joined by Chris Hardy from Whole Grain Digital. Whole Grain Digital is a London original WordPress website design and development agency driven by their belief that the web should be sustainable, accessible, fast, and fun. Founded in 2007, they've been a certified B Corporation for 4 years in this very month, in fact, on the 10th, and went through the recertification process during 2020, which might be something we can talk about. Mm-hmm. Chris Hardy is the developmental lead, easy for me to say, and team coach, and is also a B leader. He's a certified coach at professional and international levels, and at Whole Grain Digital is creating a deliberately developmental culture. Welcome to the show, Chris.
Thank you, Russell. Good to be here.
So I have to ask, Chris, the thing, deliberately developmental? It's hard enough to say. Is it difficult to do?
That's a good question. A deliberately developmental organization in a company full of developers.
So it's mouthful. That's interesting. Yeah, because they're a rare breed, developers, aren't they?
Yes. Yeah, yeah. But yes, is it easy to do? No, it's not easy to do. It's an experiment that's been underway for the past few months since coming into the business, really, since July.
Yeah.
When Tom and I had our conversations to try to define what my role would be, we were both curious as to how it could be more than just a standard coaching role.
Yeah.
Even though that is not particularly standard, but just a sort of team coach role is great. But then there's this piece about working to shift the culture in a good direction. And obviously there's tons of approaches and directions that you could take culture change work, but we have found, and I was particularly interested in this take on what means a deliberately developmental organization. That's kind of a certain type of culture that we're trying to build.
What is this certain type of culture that you're trying to?
So it takes a tiny bit of explaining. If you imagine the culture of an organization, something sometimes it's a little bit difficult to put your finger on.
Yeah.
So there's various different ways to look at it. Developmental in this context, it comes from the theory of adult development.
Right.
This theory came out of academia in like the 80s, where they realized through study and research that there are fairly marked stages of change that we go through as adults.
Yeah, yeah.
Then you've got a theoretical basis called adult development theory. Then you have great people like Robert Keegan, Lisa Lahey, and Jennifer Garvey-Berger, who have applied this theory to organizations and to leadership development. Particularly Robert Keegan and Lisa Lahey, they spoke about this idea of a deliberately developmental organization, which means that the culture of the place is set up and exists in a way that mean people grow and develop while they're at work. So things like, really practical things like knowing the thing that you're trying to work on. They call it your backhand. Like knowing where is your weakness and how are you developing that on a week-to-week, day-to-day basis. Like having a really good feedback culture in place so that people can understand how they can improve and everybody feels open to communicating in these ways. Like having a space that feels safe enough as well as challenging enough. So you get a good balance between what they call home and edge. Things like that, like these sort of principles in place that mean, you know, ultimately you've got this culture where people feel kind of they're growing, they're developing, and then they're engaged and they're satisfied.
And it's quite an interesting one to firstly identifying people's weaknesses. They're not big on saying my backhand is poor.
Yeah.
Oh, no, no, backhand's fine. Not me, but is that a challenge in the outset of this?
It depends on the culture.
Okay.
So if you have a culture in an organization, which is, you know, normally people are not so comfortable about speaking about their weaknesses.
Yeah.
But if you manage to create the shifts and the change, it depends a lot on the people at the top as well. So this has been, it's been really important that Tom and Vanita, right, you know, the MDs of Wholegrain are totally on board with this. But so right from the beginning, they were very clear, like outcomes from our coaching sessions, my coaching sessions with them, they were very clear to share. Chris really helped me see this thing that I need to work on. Like working on it is going to look like ...
Yeah.
You know, help me with it.
Okay.
Which is an amazing move as leadership, but it's also, you know, it's a new type of leadership, I think, where we're saying, you know, it's not about like trying to show that you've got all the answers or just being like blindly courageous. We're entering a time of such complexity and such unknown that leadership is beginning to shift and change.
Yes.
So there needs to be this space of, do you know what? Actually, I don't know what's going on right now. I don't know what comes next. I'm a bit afraid of this part of my role. Can we all figure out this way to support each other?
And of course, through 2020, it's, well, the whole framework, presumably the Wholegrain Digital operates out of an office.
Yes, it will. It did, but only for one day a week.
Oh, okay.
So it's always been a intentionally distributed team.
Okay, so that not a massive step change in how they operated then. And so
not a massive step change. I think that I arrived in the team in June.
Yeah.
So last year. So for me, it's always been this distributed team experience. Yes. I think for the people who were regularly going into the office in London every Thursday, I think it was, you know, it has been a big change not to see each other at all.
Yeah.
But you're right. Like we were well set up as a company that has been able to sort of ride this wave of moving to being distributed all the time. And it's been an added challenge. It's like also, you know, how do you maintain culture?
Yeah.
How do you keep the communication channels open? How do you ensure we can sort of look after each other when there isn't just that sort of office environment to be part of?
No, and of course, many people came into work and it, in many occasions, could be their only point of contact. So, you know, mental health has been a real struggle in this, and coaching can be quite valuable in that case as well.
Yeah. Yeah, no, completely. I mean, completely. I've seen that within the team, myself included, saying, guys, we've got a channel in Slack called Be Grateful. And it's such a lovely place to just scroll through. But, you know, I put in there, I'm so grateful to be part of this team. For me, there was a really important piece in how the team at Wholegrain was just this constant throughout, like so much changing.
Yeah.
And so much uncertainty in the world. But that I knew these people were going to be there for me, and they cared about me and I cared about them. And we have this culture of being able to speak about the pieces that we're finding difficult and celebrating the good bits. And so suddenly it felt like this really nurturing, supportive place. Yeah.
So just to give a bit of context, what kind of size is Wholegrain Digital in
18.
18.
Yeah.
So to have a coach, a dedicated coach. Okay. I know you're not there every day of the week, but to have somebody defined as a coach is fairly unique in an organization of that size.
Yes.
It's fairly unique in any organization, actually.
I think it's fairly unique. I don't know if it's unique. I would say it's like a pioneering move, you know, from Tom to be able to see it. I mean, essentially, so to be clear also, like you say, I'm there 6 days a month. So it's not a full-time role. When I spoke with Tom initially, he was in this process of like analyzing the HR role within the organization and realizing really there was almost a conflict of interest when you have one person who's trying to do holidays, pay, you know, the logistics and the admin piece of HR alongside the sort of supporting that person developmentally, the monthly check-ins, you know, and giving feedback. It's difficult. That's a really difficult line to tread for one person. And it happened that person was leaving. They were going back to Australia. And so then Tom thought, okay, I'm going to hire two people. One's going to do 6 days a month. The other's going to do however many other days it is per month. And I think that split was really a brilliant idea.
It is, yeah.
And then, yeah, to sort of have the confidence and the belief that investing in someone like myself, who's totally like non-billable, if you like, the hours that I work are just, you know, not
you're an overhead. Really.
I'm overhead. The client is not paying for that. But when you see it as a split of what was traditionally a full-time HR role, it's suddenly not such an overhead.
No.
And then to recognize just the significance of nurturing a good culture, I think was a really brave move.
Yeah, I think it sounds brilliant. I think many people should perhaps learn from the concept. But we've had the opinion that task and finish is very different from nurture and well-being and looking after the mind and development of the individual, and they don't match. And so many companies reward because you've got a team. Mm-hmm. Oh, they look after five staff. I need to pay them more. I need to give them, you know, more reward. But it doesn't work. And especially in the way the world's working at the moment, it just doesn't work. You need that care for an individual without worrying about whether they're keeping up with their workload. Yes. Workload is a different issue. How about the person? How totally. Are they equipped?
Yeah, totally. And go on. Well, I was going to say, I think what's interesting is we're seeing that the research shows and my experience in whole grain, but that there's also kind of tons of research out there, particularly that there's a book, An Everyone Culture, with Robert Keegan and Lisa Lahey, like I mentioned at the beginning. They really in there make such a good case for how that support and that nurturance of the person as an individual is such an important factor in how productive and effective they are. Like, if you want bottom line and you want sales, then you've got to look after the person or the people.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we're getting to this, I think there's a coming change in the way that we think about work and the way organizations function, where people are recognizing more and more, actually, obviously our most important asset is our people. And if we can attract the top talent and keep the top talent, because we nurture them and because they're growing and because this is a really thoroughly engaging place to be, then that is like such a good strategic move to make.
Yeah, not calling them human capital either, which is a dreadful term.
Yeah, I mean, even human resources as well, isn't it?
I like the word talent. I really can get behind that.
Yeah, totally.
So this approach, this move to focusing on coaching, focusing on development, focusing on weaknesses, is this born out of the B Corp? They moved to being a B Corp 4 years ago, and obviously just been through recertification, which is probably a challenge on its own. Are these changes born out of that?
I don't think specifically born out of being a B Corp. I think that obviously one of the sections in the business impact assessment tool is workers. So, you know, as a B Corp, anyway, you're aware of the importance of like nurturing and looking after your people. But I think this particular move was not necessarily born out of that B Corp piece for whole grain.
It's a realization that the world is changing and needs to take a different approach.
And exactly. And through conversations with Tom, he said, I'm sure he wouldn't mind me sharing, he said he's always looked at whole grain as a bit of an experiment. Like he's one of those people who's very kind of happy to be at the edge of uncertainty and experimenting with what might be the best place to work. What could be like a really sustainable web design agency? Like, what might that look like? And treating it as an experiment. So then when he comes across a new idea in how culture can be augmented and improved, he's sort of one of those people who's willing to kind of be a bit pioneering and do an experiment. And
that's interesting, you know, because I asked the question about the B Corp being the inspiration or is it many companies I'm starting to speak to, they were naturally thinking about these things already. They already had them in their minds, may not have enacted them properly.
Yeah.
And then they became a B Corp because it was a natural transition.
Yes.
Whereas I've seen other organizations using B Corp as a if we can measure it, we can manage it and control it and change yes. it. And therefore, if I know where I'm bad, which of course the B Corp assessment does lead you towards, I'm not doing this, I'm saying no on all of this stuff. You definitely know when you haven't opened up a great big chain of the questionnaire. It can drive people's change. So it's interesting to hear that Tom was there already.
Yes. Yeah.
In his thought process, and the B Corps was a natural progression.
Yeah. There's a piece for me within the B Corp certification of whole grain that I always tell as a story. And I think it really represents what they are as a company.
Yeah.
In that, yes, they were always sustainable web design. So that was like 14 years ago, I think the company was founded around that principle, yeah. which is like only now becoming kind of common knowledge, like, oh, we need to yeah. use the web in a more sustainable way. Look at all that data, it uses carbon.
Yes.
But they, it was recently, like last year, when they went through the recertification process, they had to make the case to the B Corp certifying body that they were dealing with ecological products. So the ecological product box check is normally for things like clothing or washing up liquid. So but whole grain ticked the box and said, yeah, we do ecological products and this is how we do them. And B Corp came back and said, websites are not ecological products. And Tom said, yeah, they are. And they said, prove it to us. So they did. And they showed how their design process and the yes. tools and the methods that they use create these websites that are have so much lower impact environmentally. So they like load a lot faster, they use a lot less data, they're much more accessible, and they're much quicker and easier to use. So, you know, it's like integrated into kind of everything that we do, but you end up with this amazing product that is beautiful and functional and like a low, really sort of low energy input.
Yeah, I mean, it's a fascinating subject. We've been aware of it for some time and obviously looked into it because we are a sustainability company ourselves. But this has been at the core of the business from its very outset, as it is, mm-hmm. is running a sustainable, is being sustainable in CO2 reduction.
Yeah.
Is that what brings back some of these big names? I mean, you got M&S and Oxfam and Network Rail. I mean, these are big names that everyone probably recognizes. Is that what brings them back? Or is it the people you're developing?
Yeah.
there's a twist for you.
I would imagine it's different reasons. I don't know precisely, but I think it's probably just really excellent customer service.
Okay.
In that they have this process of website development and build, and then like ongoing, they have a term for it, I can't remember what it is, but ongoing clients that are there for sort of ongoing improvements and any bug fixing and, you know, enhancement of security. So I think that once you've gone through the process of building the website, like so much of the feedback that we get is so great. And actually, on the developmental piece, like there's a lot that's personable about the way that we work. Like we're very kind of human being in the way that the project managers and the account managers relate to the organizations that we work with. There's a real relationship that's built.
Yeah.
And a big website takes 4 to 6 months or something. So after a process like that, I think you have these big clients that just say, let's keep going. Like, can you just be there and look after our website going forwards? And obviously that works really well. Those clients are great for whole grain. So I think it's probably a focus on really, really good customer service and great client interaction and relationship building.
Okay, that's interesting. Yeah. Now, just moving away from whole grain digital for a moment, and you yourself, you are what is lovingly known as a B leader. Now, for those people that are listening that have no concept of the B Corp world, there's a lot of things that start with B.
Yeah.
There's B economies and B socials and B locals and all sorts.
Yeah.
What is a B leader in that context there?
Yeah, yeah. It's good. The B piece is done intentionally as a branding piece to try to kind of be coherent across the movement.
Be coherent.
So the B leader means that you've gone through training with B Lab, and the B Labs are like the local certifying organization in each country. So you have like the central unit over in America, and then you have the UK B Lab and the B Lab of all the other countries where the movement is present. B Labs in those countries deliver training to consultants to enable them to take organizations through the impact assessment tool.
Yes.
You can't, as a B leader, certify people myself. I can't verify their score that they get, but the training enables me to understand the business impact assessment tool, to have a handle on what the timeline is, to have contact with the rest of the other B leaders, and also with B Lab UK. So as an organization, like I'm working with a couple at the moment, you know, you might come to the process, or you want to be a B Corp.
Yes.
It's hard to prioritize because it's not like an urgent thing. No one's pushing you to do it. The business impact assessment tool is wonderful and complex and quite deep and nuanced.
Yes.
So, you know, someone to just turn to be like, wait a minute, are we going in the right direction?
Yeah.
How do we split this work up? What needs to happen first? Questions like that. So as a B leader, my involvement is kind of fairly light touch with organizations. I'm not going in there and like doing the work for them.
No.
But I'm helping them to just prioritize and order and sort of split up the work in a meaningful, useful way.
So what drove you to that? What drove you to thinking about being a B leader?
Yeah, coming into the B Corp movement, like I was employed before Whole Grain Digital by another B Corp. And I guess just kind of sensing the potential for this movement. Like the statistics are that we're sort of at the beginning of an exponential curve. It is basically what it looks like on the graph. And, you know, I'm a coach, I'm a consultant, I work in business. Like this, obviously this idea of like values orientated work is something that's really alive for me. So if there's another piece of training that I could have that would help me move organizations towards that end of the spectrum and help them be, you know, doing more meaningful work, then, you know, that was what, yeah, that was what attracted me to the training.
Yeah. And is it sustainable business and sustainable economy, which is your sustainability heart? What drives you personally as to be a sustainable person? Or
it's a really good question. Do you know what the piece that drives me personally is that I feel it's actually the people piece, obviously.
Yeah.
So it's like, I believe that in the process of becoming fully sustainable, I'm not even sure about the word sustainable, but just sort of fully in harmony with the world and with the environment, that
balanced
actually means,
year, yeah,
balanced. Yeah. Yeah. That would actually mean a real flourishing of what it means to be human. So I think that our current state of affairs is very limited. We're depressed, we're anxious, we have a mental health crisis, we have like rising suicide rates. This is not how we're supposed to be as human beings.
No.
And that's because we're in the middle of this sixth mass extinction and everything can melt down. So yeah. if we can move towards business, like, and we spend so much time doing business and work. So if work can become a vehicle of like human flourishing, that will automatically be like doing good business in the world.
Nice.
That's my sense on it. So
yeah.
I care about the company mission and the overall, you know, strategy, but really my focus is on like bringing the best out of the people inside those organizations.
Yeah. And we're at the heart of everything, aren't we? I mean, if there were no people on the earth would be perfectly balanced.
Yeah.
But by all reports, is we are doing damage. I mean, people that say that we aren't making that bigger impact, and there are the deniers on the climate change and the global warming and all the other stuff. But if we weren't here, the Earth wouldn't miss
us. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And the Earth won't miss us. Like, we might be gone. I mean, if we carry on as we are, we might be gone in 200 years.
Right. And this is just the first of many viruses, probably.
Totally. The animals will carry on. Everything will be okay.
Yeah, and they'll strike another balance. Yeah. But it's every time man gets involved. We did a funny story on our show a little while ago that was it Escobar in Colombia had his own zoo, and he imported rhinos. But when his enterprise collapsed, the rhinos were set loose. Not the rhinos, hippopotamuses, I mean.
No way.
And they are, and now they're doing really well. They're doing fantastic. It's just, they shouldn't be there.
because they've been put into a different ecosystem.
And of course they're damaging and damaging that, and they're some of the most dangerous animals on Earth.
Yeah.
Humans anyway. Yeah. So it's interesting. Let's go back.
No, just saying, I think it's an exciting moment though, somehow. I mean, to look at it as a challenge of leadership in that, and that's what also the adult development model, to bring it back to this adult development model, it talks about how in order to deal with the level of complexity and uncertainty and ambiguity that the world currently, the problems in the world currently present us with, we need a totally new kind of leadership. And we see this leadership in some organizations, in some people, but we need to also really spend time developing and growing the leaders that we need to deal with the type of complexity. And, you know, there's an old form of hierarchical top-down leadership that kind of is dying and we realized just didn't work. Yeah. So what is next? Like, how do we then, what is like the real leaders of like today need to look like? And I think that in this process of adult development and returning back to this theory that's really, really grounded and delivered and trained in such a good way is a great resource for us right now as a species.
Brilliant. Brilliant. I love the take on it. Can we just head back to Whole Grain Digital?
Yes.
Have you got any insight as to why the company, on the basis of what we talked about, they didn't join a B Corp and then changed on the back of it. Mm-hmm. They were already innovative as a business.
Mm-hmm.
So why did they become a B Corp? Do you know?
Yeah, it's a good question. It would be better to speak with Tom and Vanita really for the decision, but I guess for the real motivating reasons. I mean, I know that being part of the community is a really big deal for them and feeling... well supported. That's an amazing piece about becoming a B Corp.
Yes.
And I guess, you know, to support the movement, like it's such a sort of recognized stamp nowadays, but that has only happened because we've had like a history of pioneering business leaders saying, yeah, like not only do I want that stamp for my own business, but I can see how valuable that stamp is for business in general. So I think there's been that sort of capacity to see, okay, we need a systemic change here. This could be part of it. Like I go towards that, you know, as it was part of the original motivation.
Okay, that's brilliant. So did you get involved in the recertification process? Because I think you were recertified in November, I think it was, in 2020, something like that.
Yes,
Did you get any insight from the team as to how difficult that was or easy it was?
I don't actually. No, I don't. Okay. I don't know how it was done. Is it in November that they went through that? I think it might.
Well, November when it was issued, so there's a good chance that
might have been. One of the
benefits of B Corp is you do get to see, you know, you get to see where everyone is. You know where they are, how long they've been there, what their score is. I mean, you got a score of 108.
So I don't know when that would have been submitted.
No, it probably was actually just probably before me. Because it takes a while.
108 is a seriously good score, isn't it?
It is. I mean, for those that don't know the B Corp movement, the average business on the assessment can score around about 50. To be a B Corp, to qualify to be certified, you have to be 80. So moving into the hundreds is really good.
Yeah.
And, you know, there are companies at 120 and 150, which are coming up on other interviews, which we're really excited to talk to they have been at it for probably 6-8 years, three recertifications maybe, and are inching away. And it's quite a tricky process. I don't think we want to undersell anybody you go through it. But the big thing about the B Corp is you can go through the B Corp assessment at no charge and you do not need to certify. You can go through the questionnaire and do this and see how your company does.
Yeah.
But you do need to do it openly and honestly because you lying to yourself ain't going to get you anywhere.
Yeah. But it is worth it reiterating that as a tool of it's kind of a piece of consultancy, free consultancy software online.
It is
business impact assessment tool that ask so many good questions that you just might not have thought about. And especially, I've got friends here in this studio who are beginning a business, and for them to do the creation of their business in accordance with these questions, or to be able to turn to it when they think, oh, what type of a policy do we want here? Or what approach do we want to take about this?
Yes.
You can look at the BIA and it can give you direction. So it's really a valuable tool.
It is. So yeah, I'd recommend anyone to go have a look at it to start off with.
Yeah.
But if you find yourself scooting close to the entry score, I'd really encourage you to think about certificating and doing that extra push. And getting somebody like a B leader like yourself, and there's a fair few of them around the country and the world.
Yeah.
And we're here in the UK. The Haas series of shows is all over the world. So we're really looking forward to hearing that from other organisations too.
That would be cool. I'd like to hear that also. Yeah.
So can you put a finger on why the company went through recertification, what value it puts in it? Do the employees value being a B Corp? Do they appreciate it? Is it?
I think it's two things. I think it draws towards you good employees. So you have, it's an important part of the recruitment process that people are motivated because it's a B Corp, and it does really help you stand out. And then we have customers coming towards us because they want to be doing something ethical with their online presence. So both of those pieces, to draw towards you the top talent and then retain it, and to bring towards you customers who care about this type of thing, and which is obviously becoming kind of a bigger and bigger issue.
Of course. Yeah. And it makes a sustainable business in the end, doesn't it?
Totally.
I mean, it's a business that will continue through the thick and thin because it's built its foundations on the people, planet and prosperity.
Completely.
And not just on profit.
Yes. Yeah.
So Chris, we ask our interviewees to give us an action that they would recommend that our herd of listeners look at. What have you got for us today?
Yes. It's a good question. I think the piece I recommend if you are working inside an organization or just on your own, is to reflect on the way that you're working. So it's to take a step back from just doing the work and considering, how am I engaging in this work? And what is my relationship to the work? So alone, that can be like, am I doing it in a healthy way? Am I looking after my body? Does this feel like it's enhancing my well-being? And inside an organization, the question asks you to look at the culture and to look at the relationships that you have at work and consider, like, how does this feel for me? Because doing that reflecting can help bring to mind what sort of changes you might want to make.
Brilliant. Okay. It's so important because every task of finish, task and finish, and got to get on and do the next thing, and the email's coming in just on and on. Then you pack up and go upstairs and flop down on the sofa. And just standing back and going, is this right? Is this working for me? And is it covering all the bases?
Is this working for me? Exactly. And do I want to keep on going in this direction?
Yeah. And carry on working in this way. I mean, you're standing up, I'm sitting down. I want to stand up. I expect on occasion you want to sit down. But
standing, by the way, is a real recommendation I make just for work, if possible. It is, the body is so important in how we work and how we feel throughout the day. So a standing desk can just be revolutionary.
Okay. Well, you've now thrown two actions in, but it's kind of a recommendation. Let's move on to your recommendation. What would you, if you've got something you would recommend people pick up and look at and read or watch?
Yes. I am really into this book at the moment. Changing on the Job, Jennifer Garvey Berger.
Brilliant. Okay.
She is one of the world's leading proponents in the application of adult development theory to the world of coaching and personal development and leadership development.
Okay.
And she just has this really brilliant way of speaking about it, keeping things really nice and clear and grounded and down to earth. And although she's like a leading academic mind, it's not academically focused, the book, and it's not overly complex. And having spent sort of 12 years wandering around in the coaching industry, I'm really happy to have found someone whose way I resonate with.
And it kind of anchors you on a particular style or route.
Exactly. Anchors me in a way that feels really good. Yeah.
Is it a book that could apply to people who perhaps aren't working?
Yes. Yeah, no, it absolutely could. It's not just applied for work. It's understanding the theory of adult development, I think, is really interesting for anybody. So if people are not working or they're not part of an organization, it's still really relevant to begin.
How do you develop yourself?
Yeah, it's to get a handle on how you see the world, how we make sense of the world. So we're inside an organization, obviously, we're going to come across more challenges and more problems, and the way that we see them is more obvious. But also just at home and how we are with ourselves is still impacted by, and understanding the theory gives you a really valid perspective on it.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
And finally, fact or fake? Now, yeah. Did you prepare any, or should I throw mine at you?
Yeah, throw yours at me.
Okay, so here we go then. I'll give you a statement. I'll ask you if it's fact or fake. And I may have tweaked the figures, or I may not. It's all about coaching.
Is it? Oh, no.
But see how you go. I tried not to pick anything that I didn't want to pick anything from a whole grain set of facts, because they're very switched on to CO2. So I'm not going to do that. So in a study involving Fortune 1000 companies who engaged coaches for change and growth coaching, found that it was observable productivity increases were reported by 33% of executives. Is that a fact or is that a fake?
I think that could be a fact.
Yeah?
Yeah. Fake.
It's a fake. The study's the same, but the productivity increases were 53% of executives.
Hey, That's good.
It is good. I mean, it's exactly the kind of thing you would want, really, as a coach, wouldn't you?
I'm quite skeptical around coaching, though, for productivity and for outcomes.
Really? Yeah.
Yeah, like I just think that's an extremely narrow focus.
Yeah.
We don't need more productivity. We've got way too much productivity going on. We need a reevaluation of what we're doing for work.
Brilliant.
So, yeah. You know, like right. It can help with productivity, but, you know, we need a different way of thinking.
Okay, well, that's interesting. The Institute of Coaching cites that over 70% of individuals who receive coaching benefited from improved work performance, relationships, and more effective communication skills. Is that a fact or a fake?
70% sounds, I don't know. Yeah, I think it is. Yeah, fact.
This is a fact. You are right. I mean, that's a good...
That's quite a good stat, isn't it? Relationship skills as well.
Yeah. And work performance may not be productivity. It might be, quality. It might be, you know, friendliness or whatever.
Yeah.
It could be any number of things. So that's good. Okay. Final one does focus in on sales. Sales reps with 30 minutes or less of sales coaching per week receive win rates of 43%. And those that receive 2 hours of coaching per week have a win rate of 56%. Is that a fact or is that a fake?
Facts. 2 hours a week. That sounds like a lot. Facts.
It is a fact. And you win. Oh, devastating. On coaching as well. Well, I suppose I should bow to that one. Yeah, I think
that, isn't it? There's questions about the statistics of the impact of the work. You know.
Yeah, I mean, these are the sources I've done these from fairly reputable organizations. Yeah. We try to grab our data from totally. Good studies, strong studies, large numbers. Yeah. But sometimes, you know, it's so easy to bandy around facts about something that is highly subjective. I mean, you can do what, and the reason people point it towards productivity increases is because that's the only measure they got. They can't measure happiness without having to talk to their staff.
Well, it's one of the challenges of the work in general, and it's one of the particular challenges of trying to monitor culture change. Like, how do you quantify and analyze culture change? it's very hard to put your finger on what it is. It might feel different and everybody might feel different and that might really work, but like, let's try to quantify it, you know? So it's an ongoing kind of challenge. Cause I do think, yeah, when you focus narrowly on the quantifiable, you miss so much of what actually is going on. You miss the sense of happiness or fulfillment or magic that might be taking place.
But everyone wants to be able to manage it so that they can improve it, and therefore they need to put a measure on it.
Okay. Exactly. Yeah.
Well, on that devastating juxtaposition of how do we coach and prove that we're coaching,
prove it works,
and on the devastating loss of fact or fake, this leads me to thank you very much, Chris, for joining me.
Thank you,
and joining us on this special B Corp month. And thanks very much for Whole Grain for giving us an insight into Whole Grain Digital's B Corp-ness.
Yeah, hope I did them justice.
Thank you, Chris. We really hope that you found this special B Corp month episode both informative and entertaining. Make sure you don't miss any of the 31 interviews with B Corporations who are striving to be a force for good. So make sure you subscribe to our podcast so you don't miss a thing. And don't forget to spread the word with others. If you have any questions about being or becoming a B Corp or any comments and suggestions about the show, please do get in touch. You can email studio@greenelephant.show or visit the website greenelephant.show or find us on Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, YouTube or Twitter by searching for Green Ellipod or The Green Elephant Show. You can also review the show on Google and Apple Podcasts. Join us tomorrow and we hope you have a sustainable day.